Welcome to the Reluctant Messenger podcast, where we discuss spiritually transformative events, encounters with angels and guides, out-of-body explorations, and much more. This episode originally aired as a video on my YouTube channel. You can find links on my website at candacesanderson.com. Welcome. My name is Candace Sanderson, and this is part 8 of having an out-of-body experience. My guest, Donna Rebido, will join us in the next episode. Today, we will discuss more psychic tools that help us travel to and then navigate through the 5D. By using psychic tools, we shortcut the OBE process. No more false starts, as these tools take us quickly into that field of timeless energy that surrounds us. We will also discuss how these tools work. That is key. If you understand those operating principles behind the tools, it empowers you to discover tools that are specific to you. We have 4 tools remaining from the Reluctant Messenger Unleashed YouTube series. We have crystals, energy packets, a Merkaba, and the EZ button. Donna will talk about the EZ button in the next episode because that was her tool. So this leaves me to discuss crystals, that's easy enough, clouds of energy packets, and the Merkaba. Crystals are so powerful, and their properties vary depending on each crystal. Clear quartz, for example, will amplify any energy that's around it. They are also great for communication. After all, that's how the first radios were built, using quartz crystals. I will take these crystals and embed them in my psychic tools dashboard. For one, they're pretty. They brighten up the place. I laugh when I say that, but just looking at them raises my vibrations. I want you to think of the difference that you feel when you admire a vase of beautiful, fresh flowers. What if you leave those flowers where they are and you go on a vacation for 2 or 3 weeks? When you return, those same flowers are not only wilted, they have mold growing on them. And that once fresh water, oh, it is so smelly. Which do you prefer? I am always adding crystals to my dashboard when I discover new ones and what their properties are. If I want loving, beautiful, caring energy, I simply put my hand on a rose quartz crystal on the dashboard, and I soak up that energy. I can also pluck it from the dashboard, stick it in my pocket, and keep it close. If I need grounding when I'm through with my travels, I choose hematite. Experiment with the crystals, and as you discover new ones, put those in your dashboard. Now, let's look at energy packets. What in the heck are they? Several years ago, when I was preparing for bed, I was thinking about all the messages that I had from that day. This was very early in my spiritual journey, and the messengers were driving home one of their primary mantras, energy. Everything is energy. Everything we do, everything we think, everything we feel. The messengers kept referring to energy matches, vibrational matches, and how we, as humans, are vibrational beings. That makes sense, but I didn't really know how that worked. So when I went to bed, these thoughts were on my mind. And when I woke up the next morning, I had answers. During my dreams, I had a vision of energy packs that exist within structures that look like those beautiful cumulus clouds. But before they became packs or packets of energy, they existed as pure potential. They were formless, and they floated within these cloud-like structures until a thought or a desire or prayer or intention, all those T's in the TEA formula, thoughts, energy, action, until that happened. When you get a new thought, it starts a chain of events in motion that cause the cloud's energy components to shift. They come together in order to match the frequencies, the vibrations of that thought. And that's when all those potentials become energy packets. It was easy to see. Such a simple yet profound representation. The energy associated with a new thought becomes a cluster of energy from what had been free-formed, actually no-formed, energy of potential. The messengers have told me that an intention, a thought, is an organizing principle that sends signals throughout the universe, that field of energy that surrounds us. The universe will then organize in order to address that intention. With this cloud-like structure, I could actually see it in real time as these free-formed bits of potential combined into specific clusters corresponding, matching the vibration, the frequency of our intention, of our thought. Then this packet moves to the forefront of the cloud. So it can easily connect to the forefront of my mind or the mind of whoever has the thought. The vision made perfect sense because of the TEA formula. That cloud added a visual component for unmistakable clarity. This vision showed me that TEA, thoughts, energy, action formula in action. Let's look at what happens when we doubt our initial thought. When that ego comes in and says, "What? You cannot do that. Who do you think you are? Get real." With that doubt, that newly formed packet of energy associated with our original intention, which had been at the front of the cloud, that packet breaks up. It dissolves. And those formless energies of potential start once again to move and shift and combine to fuel our intention with what? With doubt. TEA, E is the bridge. That energy is that connective tissue between the thought, the T, and the action, the A. There are aspects of E that blend both into T and A. Let me tease out that component of E, of energy. It may look like we substituted that original thought with another thought, the thought of doubt. But E, energy, is the fuel. It is part of our emotional guidance system that we talked about before, and that is our innate quality control mechanism. So we're looking for an emotional component because that is a criterion for the E, the energy. Think of the E in TEA as emotion, but it's actually the frequency and vibration of the emotion. The E is the energy of that emotion that becomes the fuel to guide the T, the thought, toward the A, the action. If we suddenly fuel it with doubt, for example, we derail that original thought. That's the quality control mechanism in action. Back to seeing how this works. When we engage the energy of doubt, that new energy changes everything. Our original intention is derailed by what? Us. As thoughts of doubt enter, now we're looking at right between the T and the E, these newly recombined packets associated with doubt. It's not just doubt, but it's the what's wrong with me? We might become despondent. Whatever made me think I could do this? More and more emotion. And with those lower vibrational frequencies, the potential aspects of that cloud rearrange and drift to the forefront. So they do not replace what had been there because that no longer exists. This is something new. And it is in direct alignment with the person through their emotional guidance system. That doubt is now front and center. The original desired action does not occur because we have derailed it with the emotion, with the energy of doubt. Especially for people who prefer pictures to understand concepts, I realized that the vision I had really explained how the law of attraction works. I knew, or thought I knew, the importance of holding and maintaining our initial thoughts, our initial intentions. But now I realize that is faulty. It is not the holding of the thought or the intention. Instead, it's the appropriate fueling of the intention. Over the years, the messengers have compared, for me, the intentions. They say that the intentions are like invitations. If you leave your evite in your outbox without sending it, or if you keep your written invitation on the dining room table, it does not go anywhere. The process stops. Your friends know nothing about the upcoming event because they never received your invitation. It is not about holding that thought, but instead releasing it and releasing it with the appropriate fuel, the appropriate energy to guide it to its action, to its outcome, to what you want to occur. You do not put your invitation in a box in your basement. You put it in a mailbox. If you put water in your gas tank instead of gas, you don't go anywhere. So as soon as you doubt the outcome of your initial thought, you have just derailed that initial intention because the thoughts energy action formula is always working. Your action, what you desire to manifest, will do exactly that. It will manifest according to your fuel. Knowing that empowers you. Like the operational systems, we have the quality control and the GPS. This TEA formula is also always working in the background. When you understand that, you will appreciate how and why our psychic tools work. They actually program the three-part TEA, thoughts, energy, action formula into one tool. If it's one tool, it does not let doubt enter. You go straight from T to A, from thoughts to action. You see this when you travel in the 5D, instant manifestation. You think you want to go to a specific location and you are there. We do not see this in the 3D. And often there's such a time lapse between our intentions and the manifestations. I dare say that most people do not even know that they are manifesting. I also see tools as shortcuts through my professional lens as a psychologist. We call these conditioned responses. Remember Pavlov's dog? Ring a bell, then feed the dog. Ring a bell, then feed the dog. Then ring a bell without food elicits salivation. The dog no longer needs the fuel of the food to produce the outcome of salivating. The process becomes a shortcut. This response, ringing a bell, is now conditioned. It results in the outcome without the fuel. Our psychic tools work that way too. It's that quality control system we talked about earlier. And when you become aware of it, how it is always working, then we can see how that E and the TEA affects the A, the outcome. As a psychologist, I also see that we just implemented the act, not react principle. When we know and appreciate the importance of energy that we fuel our thoughts with, we can stop a downward spiral. We can freeze our actions by just becoming aware. We can take a deep breath, which puts a space in there, and then we can choose to act instead of reacting to something. We can choose to step into a higher frequency by using higher octane fuel. And we do that by using some of the tools we talked about, smiling or puppies in a picnic basket. If we need some assistance, we can go to our dashboard. The instrument that I use for the clouds of energy packets is a radar screen. It shows me in real time if my energy packets begin to dissolve or to drift. I can look at it. I can listen to the radar blips. Or because this is no ordinary radar screen, I can simply look at the clouds themselves to monitor my energy, my fuel. Do I see beautiful white cumulus clouds set against a pure blue sky? Or do storm clouds start forming? I know what's happening in either case. And that sneak peek at my energy lets me know if I'm on target or whether I'm at risk for derailing that initial thought or intention. This radar screen is a permanent fixture to my dashboard. It is a real-time indicator whether my thoughts are aligned with the appropriate fuel. If I'm using a tool, I don't need that. But I don't have tools that I use throughout the day, second by second. If I'm in the middle of something and I realize, oh, what's my fuel? I can glance at the radar and it helps me stop mid-thought if I begin to drift. It's a great tool for quality control. Now, let's look at this last tool, the Merkaba, also known as a star tetrahedron. I'll explain the difference in a few moments. In my second book, The Reluctant Messenger Returns, I devote two entire chapters to the Merkaba. Do you know what a Merkaba is? If you do not know, don't worry. I had no idea what it was either. It is a star tetrahedron. I did not know that term either. That is a three-dimensional form composed of two pyramids. One pyramid is upright and the other one is inverted, and they intersect. If you were to draw these on paper, making these pyramids a two-dimensional form, it looks like a Star of David. I discovered all of this when I attended several meditations where I live in Naples, Florida. The leader, Sandra McGill, was holding a series of classes on Archangel Metatron. If you've read my books, you'll recognize that name, Sandra McGill. She taught the Seraphim Angel Blueprint classes that I attended and wrote about. During these Metatron studies, Sandra began each class with a meditation. Not surprisingly, some really strange things happened that I did not understand in real time. Not wanting to influence any upcoming experiences, I did not research anything until the classes were completely over. And what a surprise this search revealed. Moments into the first class, this bright diamond of light entered my forehead, and it traveled to the interior of my skull where the pineal gland is. It paused briefly, and then it just slipped down into my heart space. In each and every class after that, this bright diamond of light repeated the same path to my heart, but getting faster with each class. And also with each class, this form gradually changed. That diamond split into two triangles, which then became three-dimensional. So in other words, those triangles morphed into a three-sided pyramid. There were two of them. And by the final class, those two pyramids combined to form a functional star tetrahedron with me in the center. What I did not realize in real time was that the messengers were showing me a psychic tool. It began as a diamond made of light, and it ended with becoming a Merkaba, and all this formed in my heart space. Remember the heart? We learned earlier that the heart is a tool because it is a portal. It connects us to the 5D. It makes perfect sense that this odd-shaped star tetrahedron developed around that space of the heart, that sacred and powerful heart. When this geometric form was complete, I found myself seated in the center of this complex design. Like a pilot, I was strapped in and ready for flight. I took off in that star tetrahedron. Sideline here. Remember how the observer is also a tool allowing us to enter that field state where time no longer functions as it does in the 3D? The observer allows us to see and be in multiple places through expanding our POE, our point of existence. In this case, I was in three places at one time. Some call this trilocating, but I am the observer. I am the experiencer, and I am also the scribe at Sandra McGill's meditations, writing as furiously as I can to record my experiences in real time. But back to the star tetrahedron. As it takes off, the experiencer me is in its center. As I picture this in my mind's eye, that's the observer. It reminds me of George Jetson, clearly flying a vehicle of the future. As that vehicle of light takes off, a couple of things happen. First of all, it is no longer a star tetrahedron. It has become a Merkaba. A Merkaba is a vehicle of light, a chariot of light, something that I learned after the fact. And the second thing that occurred, as the Merkaba takes off, so do I. I have an out-of-body experience. That Merkaba is a tool for me, a very powerful tool that quickly catapults me into the 5D. On my dashboard, I have this tiny little hangar with sliding doors that are flush with the dashboard surface. I press a button, which is in the shape of a diamond. After all, that's how it all started, with the diamond of light. When I push that button, those doors slide open and a star tetrahedron, this is not a vehicle yet, rises from a platform. When it's flush with the surface, I enter it just like an astronaut getting into a space shuttle. I'm ready to launch. And then it takes off as a Merkaba. I use this often when I want to go to the realms of light. That's an area where ascended masters hang out. Now, let me share a little bit of background. My after the classes ended research shocked me when I learned that Archangel Metatron is known to travel by using a Merkaba. I was still so new to these experiences, my spiritual experiences, that when I was in Sandra's class that was called Metatron, I had no idea what a Merkaba was or a star tetrahedron, and I certainly did not know that it was associated with Metatron, even though that was the class I was attending. If you are having 5D experiences, please do not stop to research for answers in real time. If you're in a class, a series of classes, wait until it's completely over before you engage those wonderful tools of discovery. It is so valuable to have your experiences validated after the fact. Now that we've covered all of the tools mentioned in the Reluctant Messenger Unleashed YouTube channel, with the exception of that easy button that Donna will tell us about, we are up to date. I am so looking forward to reconnecting with Donna Rebido in our next episode. You will not want to miss that reunion. As I finish this episode, of course, I'm going to remind you to use kindness throughout the day. Smile more often. See how your life will run more smoothly when you do so. We are vibrational beings. That's why these tools work. And our vibrations prepare the path for our life 1 second at a time. I thank you for subscribing and for sharing these episodes on your social media. I always love comments, so feel free to get chatty. Until next time, goodbye. Thank you for tuning into this episode of The Reluctant Messenger. I hope you enjoyed it. Until next time, remember, how we use our personal energy is what defines us. Bring in those vibrations of love and gratitude and see how your life will change.